Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such a group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
All right, what's up? Good evening, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. What's up? How you doing? Happy New Year to everyone. Oh, man, you know, I'm, oh, God. Oh, you know, just one thing after another. Welcome, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me. Happy New Year. Welcome back. I was off last week. I had a wonderful time, brought in the New Year, right? And didn't get arrested. So thank you, everybody, and welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Great to have you guys back. Lots going on. We got the government shut down. Mr. Trump is holding America hostage right now. Holding America hostage. Shout out to everybody who's watching on the YouTube channel. I appreciate you. I know the lighting is horrible, but we'll get that right at some point. We're going to move into our new digs at some point, probably next week after I give the once over and get all the technical situations out of the way. So thank everybody and welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com, and on the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel now. But I'm trying to access Facebook, and I'm having, you know, just one thing after another with these these technical stuff. I am trying to get on Facebook, but it's asking some crazy questions. Now, I don't understand what it's asking crazy questions. Maybe it'll go live now. All right, and welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's all, well, I'm looking kind of whoopee. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to my peoples at Railroad Cigars. I'll be heading over there in a little bit. I know I'm looking kind of bummy tonight. I'm looking woofing, and letting my beard grow out and stuff like that. But anyway, I'm having a great time. Thanks so much for joining me, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Glad to be back. Was off last week. Took a week off to regroup. I know I'm still in the same spot right now. We're looking, it's hard to settle things during the weekend. I mean, the holiday, now that the holidays are over, now we'll be able to get down to business. People have gone away, and it was hard for me to find people, get together with folks who we want to move the show. Man, I look terrible. And I don't usually look terrible. But anyway, thanks so much for joining me. Welcome, Mr. Ron Kelly Show. Shout out to Miss Kinian, who posted about the group. What was the name of that group? Loved them, young girls who I met back in the day at Mahogany. Mahogany. Shout out to Mahogany. I'm sure they're all old now because that show, that was a long time ago. Mahogany, I had them on my radio show a long time ago. They came up to the studio back in the day when I was working my magic at WPSC 88.7 FM radio. When I was doing my thing up there, they were there. They came up to the studio, and it was so nice to meet them. I'm not sure what happened with them, but I saw something on Facebook today about them. So shout out to the girls. They're probably all married and stuff now. Who knows? But shout out to them. It was a great interview. All right, everybody. So Welcome. Thanks so much for joining me. This is Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, Ron Kelly Show. .com. Yeah, look at my beard. It's all like crazy looking. You know, it's looking kind of strange, right? Anyway, it's all good. So thanks for joining me. So we're locked in this government shutdown, everyone. Government shutdown. The folks who work every day, the government workers are being held hostage by Mr. Trump. And, you know, and it used to be a good job, the government. Government job used to be a good job. Shout out to Lamont Gates. Government job used to be a good job. You know, you could go to the government job, you can stay there for 30 years, whatever the case may be, retire and go on about your business. But Mr. Trump, in his zeal to have this wall, and he wants us to pay for the wall. Now, when he came down those golden staircase at Trump Tower, he did say that the Mexicans would pay for the wall. And the Mexicans. Okay, I hope this is an indicator of what life's going to be like. I hope this is an indicator of what life is going to be like. All right, we're back. I hope this is an indicator of what life is going to be like in 2019. But welcome, everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome back. We were off last week. I'm back this week. Welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. I've had to start the show over about 3 or 4 times already because I'm having all kinds of problems. And I would think it's because I'm doing Facebook Live and I'm streaming on the YouTube channel. So that could be it. But I'm going to try this again and see if I can get this thing together. But welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful hope you had a great New Year, Christmas, and New Year's, because we were on before the Sunday. We were on after Christmas, but we're on now. We were not on last week. So let me see if I can reestablish the YouTube channel, and then we can go back to where we were. Okay, that's not it. Okay. I hope no program director is going to listen to this show, because if they do, they're going to definitely kick me to the curb if they listen to this nonsense. But anyway, things are going wrong all around me, but welcome back. It is the Ron Kelly Show. So we have the, so shout out to Mahogany, the young ladies who I interviewed years ago, the Ron Kelly Show on WPSC 88.7 FM, when I was doing the show in studio live in Wayne, New Jersey. I was doing the show back then. And, you know, so it was nice to hear from them. Well, I didn't even want to address me, but it was nice to hear, to know that they're all okay. All right, so we have a government shutdown. As I was saying before, you know, being a government worker used to be a good job. You get the job, you go on the job. You stay there for 30 or 40 years, or whatever the case may be, because it was thought to be secure. You know, the job, it was a secure job. Shout out to Sharon Allen Chambers. Yeah, it was a good job. Shout out to Bunny McKnight. Yeah, it was, you know, you can work, you know, back in the day, you could go on, you can get a government job, or you can keep that job for 20 or 30 years and you retire and go on about your business, shuffle off into Buffalo, ride off into the wild blue yonder. But now, you know, Mr. Trump is taking it over. He's holding the American people and those workers, 300,000, 400,000 people, not getting paid. Some of them are getting furloughed. Happy New Year, Sharon Allen Chambers. Happy New Year, my sister. And Happy New Year to you, Bunny McKnight. As well, having some technical difficulties here, as has been the norm lately here on the Ron Kelly Show, because I'm streaming on the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel as well, and I'm not sure if because I have the computer so close together that the computers are not functioning because they're so close together and the signal. They're pulling on each other. But anyway, thanks so much for joining me, everybody. For those of you who have, this is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, so So we have the government shutdown. And Mr. Trump is not budging, and neither is the Democratic Congress, which just took over today. Nancy Pelosi, congratulations. Nancy Pelosi has once again wields the gavel of the Speaker of the House. Well, the Speaker of the House actually is the third person in succession. So if something happens to Trump, which many of you are hoping it does, I'm not. I don't want the Secret Service knocking on my door. But the Speaker of the House is the third person in succession. So if something should happen to Trump and Pence, then Nancy Pelosi would be president of the United States. I know a lot of you are afraid of that. But Nancy Pelosi wields a great deal of power in the House Representatives. Shout out to Albert Vega. Shout out, what's going on, DJ Tiny? Did you check him out last night? If you didn't check him out last night, you can check him out next week. DJ Tiny on D-Wild Music Radio. House heads, you know, house heads in the house, DJ Tiny every Wednesday from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, I believe it is, on dwildmusicradio.com. Okay, so we had the Democrats have taken over the House, and it's going to be a fight now. See, it's kind of the fight you want to see, but you don't want to see, because it's going to be a lot of problems now. There's going to be a lot of infighting. So we have this government shutdown. The government shutdown is over the wall. And Trump is nuts. And the people who support Trump are nuts. You see, because you had the Defense Secretary. Let me start with this. We have the Defense Secretary, this Charlotte DeGill, Maestro Jr., and Aaron. I don't see Aaron, but I'm sure he's around somewhere. Shout out to both of you, father and son. So we have the Defense Secretary, James Mattis, resign because Mr. Trump made a split decision to remove all the troops from Syria, which is, you know, just a bad idea. And, you know, and you see Mr. Trump at the meeting just today. Oh, he's there. Okay, what's up, Aaron? So you see Trump at the meeting telling everybody, the meeting that was held today, a cabinet meeting, and he's telling everybody that he fired James Mattis. Now, this is scary stuff. This is scary. This is scary stuff, because Trump is, you know, we all know that the man resigned. He wrote a letter to the president, and he stated his reasons why he resigned, because he doesn't agree with Trump, and he says that Trump needs somebody who agrees with him, a defense secretary who agrees with him. So we know that he resigned because he had issues with Trump's withdrawal of troops from Syria. We all have issues with that. And we also think that it's at the behest of Vladimir Putin. But in any case, Mattis resigned. He resigned. And just today, let me see if I can pull up the video on that. Just today, Trump comes out and says he fired the man. And we all know that he didn't fire him. You see, and this narcissistic, you know, narcissism on steroids, that's the best way I can say, best thing I can say about it, that Trump is doing is just, you know, it defies all logic. It defies all logic. This Trump's constant excuse making, is constant deferring things to other people constantly. I mean, nothing is this man's fault. Nothing is his fault. Nothing. Nothing. Now, we all know that James Mattis quit. He resigned. He quit. He said, F you, I'm out. And he said he'd be out in February. And Trump, in his childish sandbox, I'm taking my ball back type of attitude, says, no, you can leave now. Shout out to Lamont Gates. Says, no, you can leave now. So there's something wrong with this president. There's something wrong with this president. If you don't need to listen to this show, it's Progressive Talk Radio, The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, The Ron Kelly Show, .com. And for the YouTube folks, you can go to the YouTube channel, The Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel. You can check me out there as well. So something's wrong with this president. there's something wrong with him, because he takes blame for nothing. He takes the blame for nothing. And you can see the people at the cabinet meeting are looking at him like with fear. They're like, you know, what's wrong with this guy? So we have a president who does not take responsibility for anything. And it's been a couple of years so far that he's been in office, and he hasn't taken responsibility for anything. Let me segue to this. So the stock market is down 600 points today. 600 points, the stock market. And stock market down 600 points today. 600 points. But it's not Trump's fault. It's the Federal Reserve's fault. It's not Trump's fault. It's Federal Reserve. Nothing is his fault. He takes responsibility for nothing. And you see, this what's happening in the stock market is a direct result of the issues that the United States has with China, this agreement that they never made. So on the one hand, he says, oh, Xi Jinping, you know, president of China, oh, we're great, we're good. But there's still no agreement. He said, oh, we have a great relationship with Kim Jong-un, but there's still no agreement. And Kim Jong-un is still talking tough. He's using different language, but Kim Jong-un is still talking tough. He's still talking tough about Trump. They're still talking tough. So he talks, oh, I had a great call. Everything with Mr. Trump is great, wonderful, fantastic, beautiful. The man's got issues. The man's got mental issues. They should be Article 25, I believe it is something that they should be looking at. So I'm on Facebook today. Let me segue to this. So I'm on Facebook today, and I see people actually showing their workout on Facebook. And I got one thing to say about that. I got one thing to say about people showing their workouts on Facebook. I mean, come on, give me a break. Give me a break. Face hooked, get this book. Dr. Susanna Flores, good friend of mine, get this book. If you're on Facebook and you're showing your workout, you need to get this book. You need to get this book. I mean, come on. I understand it's a free country and you're free to do whatever you want to do, but come on, it looks to me like you're reaching out, like you must really need some attention. You must really need some attention if you're putting your workout on Facebook. You need some real attention, because somebody explain to me, what's the point of putting your workout on Facebook? What's the point of you setting up Facebook Live and while you're doing push-ups? I mean, somebody help me out with this. Maybe I'm crazy. Somebody help me out with this. What the hell is the meaning of setting your phone up for Facebook Live and doing your workout? I just get this book. Get the book. It's called Facebook. Dr. Susanna Flores, a good friend of mine. This is my copy. And yeah, I read it. You know, I read this book and I changed a lot of the things that I was doing. You know, after I read this book. Facebook is not a diary. It's a social network. And if you're putting your workout, I mean, people are putting, I mean, come on, you can't find nothing more relevant or more important to put on your Facebook page than your workout. Facebook, you can get it on Amazon. I think Dr. Flores does do phone sessions. She can talk to you and get you right, because if you're putting your workout on Facebook, you've got issues. Oh, boy. Okay. DeAndre Hopkins, the Houston Texans wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, is donating his entire playoff check, which would be $29,000, donating to the young girl who was killed, the young 7-year-old girl who was killed by who was killed by these creatures. Jasmine Barnes was a young girl who was killed. Jasmine Barnes, the young girl, the investigators, they released a composite sketch of suspect in the shooting death of the seven-year-old young lady who somebody shot into
the
their car.
The best thing to do on the internet. Switch to fiber. 100%
and,
fiber optic.
All right, it's enough of that. Somebody shot into the car and the young girl was killed. Investigators, matter of fact, today released a composite sketch of the suspect and the shooting death of 7-year-old girl in the Houston area over the weekend. Now, Houston Texans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins is donating his $29,000 playoff check to the family of the young girl, Jasmine Barnes, who was killed as she was riding in the car with her mother and her three siblings on early Sunday. And this has gained national attention. Now, tips have poured in to investigators in Harris County, but the suspect is still on the loose. Now, the mother is saying that there was a black man and a white man in the car. So, you know, so we can't rush to judgment about who the, and we can't rush to judgment about what the, you know, whether it was a hate crime or, you know, was whether it was, you know, whether it's motivated by racism or whatever. We can't say. But the sketch was compiled from descriptions by Jasmine's family members who survived after a man opened fire on them for no apparent reason. Now, the Harris County Sheriff, they released a surveillance video of a red pickup truck the gunman was driving at the time, but you can't really tell what kind of truck it is because it's so far away. You can't really tell. They say we you know, it looks like a, you can't tell because on the picture, the close-up picture, the truck is moving, so you can't really see it. But there's a $100,000 reward available now. So if you know anything about this, and 1,600 people have contributed to a GoFundMe account for the young girl, which has which only had a $6,500 goal, but has reached $45,000 in 3 days. So $45,000 was raised. And this GoFundMe page was started with a goal of just $6,500. So the total so far is almost $40,000 more than the page's original goal of $6,500, which is a great thing. Thank you, America. And so, yes, this young girl. And then now it's going to be increased by the $29,000 playoff check that DeAndre Hopkins, the Houston Texans wide receiver, will donate to Jasmine Barnes, his family, to go toward the funeral expenses and whatever else that they have to go. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you, DeAndre Hopkins, for giving back. Beautiful thing. I'll right, take a quick break. Come right back with more of this show. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. RonKellyShow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm... I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
All right, and we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theRonKellyShow.com. Got some couple of things we need to do. We really, you know, it was hard to get in touch with anybody over the Christmas holidays, but I will be reaching out to someone to move the show. And you know how you get that bad call just before you go on the air? Yeah, I kind of got it. But anyway, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show .com. So murders in some of the more troublesome parts of the United States of America, namely Newark, New Jersey, and New York City, the crime rate is down. Crime rate is down in New York, in Manhattan, five boroughs, and the crime rate is down in Newark, New Jersey, allegedly. So what spurs that on? Now, some say that it's the economy. I'm sure Mr. Trump will say that it's the economy. And, you know, when people are out of work, they commit crimes. Now, that's the biggest nonsense I've ever heard. That is the biggest nonsense I've ever heard, that people commit crimes who are because of the economy. Because when I wasn't working, there were times in my life I was working, I didn't even think about going out and robbing anybody. Didn't even cross my mind, you know. And yeah, most people who commit crimes don't commit crimes to buy food or Pampers or milk or anything like that. No. When people need those kind of things, they go to the store and they steal them. They don't rob somebody in order to get them. You know, the main reason why people rob others is for drugs. That's what it's for. It's for drugs. It's not for anything else. It's for drugs. It's for drugs. So we have this case of a New York City firefighter who ran down an old man, a 63-year-old guy, and he was caught by the police because a piece of his car fell off when he hit the man. And I hate drunk drivers. I hate drunk drivers with a passion. I really do. I hate drunk drivers. And I posted earlier this week that Utah has adopted a new law. Let me just see if I can pull it up here. I should have had it up already. Beg your pardon, everybody. Utah has lowered the rate. So the limit for Utah has the most strictest DUI law in the country. Now, Utah is the first state in America to lower the drunk driving limit. It's going down from 0.8 to 0.5. Now, there should be no limit. If you register anything, you should be arrested, as far as I'm concerned. If you register anything, you should be arrested. But Utah has become the first state in the country to officially lower the legal blood alcohol limit for driving from 0.8 to 0.5. Now, the supporters of this, like myself, celebrate as a rule. It's just really not that simple. I mean, what good is? So there's a lot of, see, but here's the thing. Now, a lot of people who live in Utah are Mormon, so they don't drink anyway. So this may not make a difference with most of the folks who live there. And, you know, Utah has maybe there might be a million people living there, if that many. So even though it's a very big state, the beverage associations and those folks are railing against this, you know. But we do have a problem with people getting drunk and getting in their cars and driving. We do have a problem with that. I hang out at the cigar bar myself, and I see people in there drinking. Liquor, not beer. I see people in there drinking liquor, and I'm sure that some of them are drunk when they walk out of there and they drive home. You know, I see it myself. So there is a problem with folks getting into their vehicles after a night of imbibing and getting drunk. There's a problem with that. So I applaud this new law that's going down in Utah where we're going from 0.8 to 0.5. I applaud these people. I applaud it. But there's a lot of folks, you know, people who make liquor, people who, you know, drink liquor, that those folks who run these organizations, they will be against this. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a beautiful thing. Because there are folks who, you know, these wrong wage crashes and all this type of stuff. People are going to work. People are going home, minding their own business, and they're not drunk, and they get hit by somebody who is drunk. It's just not fair. If you hit me, if your drunk driver hits me with my last breath, I'm going to choke the life out of them. If I'm mortally wounded before I go, they're going to go. Because, you know, because it's just not fair. I mean, I didn't drink. Why am I involved in an accident? And I didn't drink anything. I should have gotten home safe. But this moron decides to drink and jump in his car and drive and put not just my life in danger, but the lives of many other folks in danger by being so selfish as to jump in their car knowing that they are impaired. Especially at night, because at night it's a lot harder to see at night. You know, there are curbs on the highways that don't have reflectors. I've seen them. And you see people wind up in ditches because they didn't see the reflectors. So these folks are selfish who jump into their vehicles and decide they want to drive off into the night and putting other folks at risk. So I applaud Utah with a 0.5 level. And the other thing, too, is now it's a felony. It's a felony to drink and cause the death of someone. So you should go to jail for manslaughter. You should go to jail for a few years. And you should never be able to drive again. If you've killed somebody driving, you should never be able to drive again. That's just it. I wouldn't want to drive again. If I, you know, inadvertently killed somebody, whether I don't drink, so that wouldn't be the problem. But if I wasn't paying attention, whatever the case may be, they ran out in the middle of the street, whatever, and I killed them, I'd be devastated. And I wouldn't want a job, at least not right away. All right, but it's 22 minutes before the hour. You're watching or listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com, and also on the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel. Yes, we are there. Not there at the moment, some technical difficulties, but yes, we are there. So once again, if you are putting your workout on Facebook, you need to get this. Yeah, I got it. I read it, and it helped me out. You know, it helped me out. There's just some things you shouldn't be putting on social media. If you've had problems in the past, if you had drug problems, well, that just shouldn't be on. That shouldn't be on Facebook. I just don't believe that you should be putting that type of information on Facebook. I just don't, you know, don't believe it. I don't believe it. So anyway, if you looked at your 401k lately, I sure didn't look at mine. The stock market was down 600 points today. We segue to this, and you know, and it's the uncertainty. See, the stock market, Dow Jones Industrial Average, reacts to what's going on in the world, be it happening in America or in some other country. So it reacts to what's going on in the world. And the stock market right now is, I've never seen anything like this, where 600 points, 800 points, 1,000 points, 600 points up, 600 points down. I've never seen anything like this. And this all is attributable to Donald Trump. This is all on him. This whole thing with this stock market fluctuating wildly like it does, it's all on Mr. Trump. And he doesn't get that. And see, now the tax cuts are starting to backfire. It's not happening the way he expected it to happen. Maybe it did in the beginning. But some of these big companies are laying off. Look at Apple. Apple has lost $300 million of value since October, $300 million. That might not sound like a lot to Apple, but I mean, it might not sound like a lot to us, a $1 trillion company, but it's a lot to them. So Apple, the iPhone is not selling the way that it was expected to, and Apple has lost $300 million of market value
GM is laying off thousands of people. See, this thing isn't going the way Trump said it would. And this is why, and this instability in the world, this government shutdown, and this issue with China is what's driving the stock market crazy. And Pete, you know, and the stock market reacts to what happens in the world, whether it happens in America or whether it happens in Europe or you know, in Asia. The stock market reacts to what people do. And now, because of the government shutdown, because Trump is insisting, he gets $5 billion for this wall. The wall that now, so it means nothing to him that Americans are going to pay for this wall instead of Mexico. The Mexico laughed in his face when he first came out with that. See, Trump is playing to his base. He knows that he needs those people, the Appalachians, the people in the coal mine country, and those folks who just really don't know no better. That's basically what it is. They just don't know no better. They don't know. They a lot of them support Trump, but they don't know why. I know people who support Trump, and when they try to give me their excuse, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, like, well, what the heck was that? Because there are a lot of people out there supporting Trump who don't even know why they're supporting him. Or they're supporting him because their neighbors support him. Or because their friends are supporting him. They have no idea. They have absolutely no idea. I support Trump because, I don't know, I just support him. He does what he says. Anybody can do it. Those are stupid excuses. He does what he says. So what? Yeah, but he's doing everything wrong. And people say, oh, he does what he says. He, you know, he keeps his word. Yeah, I'm going to destroy America. Yeah, at least he kept his word. I mean, come on. You folks out there who are supporting Trump are just as loony as he is. Because I can't find any real reason, you know, to support this man. Because, again, he's never wrong. You want to watch him. Listen to him. He's never wrong. Everything is somebody else's fault. Now, he sat there today at the cabinet meeting and told a bald-faced lie that Defense Secretary Mattis didn't resign. He fired Secretary Mattis. No, you didn't. Secretary Mattis left. He put out a letter. Before he even left, he put out a letter. He sent it out to all the news outlets because he knew that's what you were going to do. James Mattis knew that you were going to lie and say that he was fired. That's why he sent his resignation letter out to all the news outlets. Because he knew that Donald Trump was going to lie, which Donald Trump did lie, and he lies all the time. And now today, with his little stunt where he brings up people from, you know, people on border security, brings up border security agents, brings them up to, I mean, just petty, Trump is just really like ghetto, you know. So today he brings up a bunch of Border Patrol agents who are higher ups in the, I guess it's the union, the Council on Border Security, whatever the case may be, and these guys are border agents. So he brings these people into the briefing room at the White House to trumpet, you know, his idea about this wall. Yeah, we need the wall. And the guys went up there and said, yeah, we need the wall. It's just ridiculous. I just don't understand this man. He's certainly not fit to be president of the United States of America. And shame on all of you who put him there. Because there's only one of him. There's only one Trump. But there's 60 million of you. So that's the scary part. That there's 60 million people. So when Trump says that there might be a revolution or what, if he leaves, he might be right. He might be right. I mean, I don't know if they're going to all go in, but there probably will be some violence. Because the people that support Trump don't really know any better. And then they're going to resort to violence. They're going to resort to violence. So he might, I mean, as far as like him saying that the people are going to, there's going to be a civil war, I doubt that. But, you know, in some areas there will be violence, I believe, if Trump is forced to leave office by impeachment or some other way. I believe that people will go off, some people. Speaking of brains, which is Trump, Mr. Trump has none. You know, I was talking this morning to a young lady about the brain. You know, I was talking about the brain this morning and how the brain, you know, the conversation eventually wound up on was Big Bang Theory versus Christianity, where, you know, Christian folks believe that God created the world, and there are scientists who believe that there was some big explosion, and that's how we got created. It came up from the ape. We evolved from the ape. We evolved from the Cro-Magnon man and the ape until now. Well, why didn't the other apes, the apes sit around now? Why haven't they grown up to be human beings? You know, if humans came from apes, you know, then why are there still apes? Why didn't the apes turn into humans? The apes that are there now, the apes that are in the zoos, and the millions of apes that have been born and died and have passed on since their times, just prehistoric days. Why didn't all the apes evolve into human beings if that was how it happened? But we were talking about the brain and how the brain stores knowledge, and, you know, how it, you know, there's no, it's a piece of flesh. There's no circuits. There's no, you know, no memory boards, whatever you want to call them. No digital, nothing digital about the brain, which is you can, you know, you can think and you have memories and, you know, you can figure things out. The brain controls, you know, the body. It controls the autonomous functions like your heart beating and your breathing and stuff like that that you don't control. Because when you go to sleep, your heart is still functioning, your body is still functioning. You're just unconscious. But the subconscious mind is still running everything. Everything is still working. Digestive system, heart, lungs, kidneys, tonsils, if you still have them. Spleen and all of that stuff, all those things are still working when you sleep. And that can't be from, you know, that can't be from the Big Bang. You know, the human body is perfect. There's provisions for everything. God, when he created man, he thought of everything. And he gave us woman too. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes. But, yeah, so there's no way, I just don't believe in that there was an explosion in the sky and we just showed up. And, no, I don't believe that. 11 minutes before the hour, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. I'm going to talk to some people between now and next week. We're going to move the show to a studio where there will be other people around that will be helping me do what I need to do. And we'll restart the YouTube channel as well, the Ron Kelly Show. YouTube channel. We will restart that as well. It's about 11 minutes, about 10 minutes before the hour of 10 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. So yeah, so got a lot going on. It's going to be a showdown in Congress now. The Congress is going to take over. The Democrats are going to take over. And, you know, and I'm happy that the Democrats are taking over. You know, the Democrats are our best hope. I know I've railed on the Democrats in the past, and yeah, I'm still going to hold them to their feet to the fire, but the Democrats are our best chance. We have no chance to further our agenda with the Republicans. There's no chance. There's no chance that the Democrats are our best chance. You know, I talk a lot about Dr. Martin Luther King. His birthday is coming up in a couple weeks. Dr. Martin Luther King. I'll definitely be talking about him again next week. Dr. Martin Luther King motivated our people like no one else. No one else before and no one else since has been a catalyst for change as was the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Martin Luther King was a threat. He was a threat. Because before Dr. King, you know, and yeah, we had, you know, there were people who helped him, you know, John Lewis and some of the other folks who were with Dr. King marching Selma across the bridge and getting dogs sicked on him, et cetera. So there are a lot of people who died for this cause. A lot of people died for the cause of freedom for Black folk, for equality and as such. And Dr. Martin Luther King was a threat. Because he was a threat. And that's why they had to eliminate Dr. Martin Luther King, because he was a threat. See, they're not going to kill Reverend Al Sharpton. Reverend Al Sharpton is not a threat. You know, Jesse Jackson is not a threat. You know, there's no threat that Jesse Jackson is going to motivate anybody. There's no threat of Reverend Al Sharpton. And I respect both men. I respect Reverend Al Sharpton. And there's no chance that Reverend Al Sharpton is going to motivate a people like Dr. Martin Luther King did. There's no chance that the Reverend Jesse Jackson or even the Minister Farrakhan is going to motivate a people like Dr. King. Now, Minister Farrakhan motivated his people. So this is part of the problem. Reverend Jesse Jackson will motivate his people, Operation Push, Rainbow Coalition, and all of that stuff. And Reverend Al Sharpton will motivate his people, National Action Network. See, because this is the problem. We have so many different organizations going in so many different directions. You know, People's Organization for Progress, Larry Hamm, having a march on South. Shout out to Susan Kirkland. Happy New Year, my sister. Hope all is well. So, the People's Organization for Progress, Larry Hamm, was having a rally on the 15th of January. So, we have so many different people with so many different agendas. So, because we're still a house divided as African Americans. We're still a house divided. You got the Urban League, you got the NAACP, you got the National Action Network, and then there's hundreds, if not thousands, of smaller organizations across America who all had different agendas. You know, Black Lives Matter, their agenda is police brutality. Reverend Minister Farrakhan, he advocates for his group, the Nation of Islam. Reverend Al Sharpton, he advocates for his group, the National Action Network, the president of NAACP. You see, there's so many different organizations. There's hundreds, and you have the majors, and then you have there's hundreds of small organizations across the country, hundreds if not thousands of small organizations across the country that are all advocating for different things. And so this is part of the problem. We don't have a national platform. Then we even have somebody who's gathering signatures. I mean, really? I mean, do you really think that gathering signatures is going to help? And shout out to Albert Vega. Imagine if they did all unite. That's right. Imagine if all the organizations, or even just the major ones, National Action Network, NAACP, Urban League, you know, the Hispanic organizations, you know, because we're in the same boat as they are for the most part. And all these, you know, imagine if we had a national platform and everybody was working toward the same goals. If we had a manifesto of, okay, police brutality, equality, banking laws, housing laws, voting laws. If we had a manifesto of everything that we wanted to do, we could move forward as a people, a unified people. But see, the powers that be don't really worry about us because we're still a house divided. We're still a house divided. You have 50,000 different organizations pushing for 50,000 different items, some want housing, some want police, want to eliminate police brutality, some want this, some want that, equality, voting rights, banking laws, housing laws, like I said earlier, you know, and just plain old decency. There's so many organizations out here, thousands of organizations going in all kinds of different directions. And we're a house divided, and this is why nothing is getting done. Nothing is getting done. So the People's Organization for Progress has their group when they have their thing, and not to kick the people. I've met Larry Hamm. He's a decent man. But when they have their group, there'll be a handful of people there. And then when somebody else has their They were hundreds and thousands of smaller groups around the country. When they have their march, there'll be a handful of people there. And see, we need to put those handfuls together. We need to put those handfuls together. Because you have a handful of people here, handful of people there, and we're not getting the job done. Nothing is getting done because we have everybody going in different directions. So we need a national platform. We need people in Chicago fighting for the same things as people in New York. People in Newark fighting for the same things they're fighting for in Gary, Indiana. We need a national platform. Collecting signatures is not going to do it. They'll throw those signatures in the garbage. You know, that's laughable that somebody's going to waste their time collecting signatures. Who are you going to give them to? Who are you going to give the signatures to? I mean, there's no such thing as sensitivity training. You shouldn't have to train somebody to be a decent human being and treat people fairly. You shouldn't have to treat people to be, you shouldn't have to treat police officers and other people to be decent human beings. They don't need training for that. They call it sensitivity training. It's a joke. I laugh when I hear it. Because you can't train somebody not to be racist. That's how they are. That's how they grew up, and that's how they are. What you can do is let them know that if you keep doing what you're doing, your behind is going to get locked up too. Now, if you let them know that, let them know that there's consequences to their actions. So if the police know, all right, there's consequences to my actions, maybe they won't do what they do. But you forget about training them how to be, because you can't train somebody to how to respect others. That's something you grew up with, something I grew up with. I was grown. My mother taught me to be respectful of other people. I was taught that, whether they were white, green, Asian, brown, Native American, yellow American, whatever the case may be. I was taught to treat people right. So either you're taught how to treat people right or you're taught how to treat them wrong. And many of these police officers, not all, I know some great ones, but many of these police officers grew up in racist households where they were taught that niggers, they're taught to use the N-word. They heard it all around the house. Nigger, 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 nigger. Look at that nigger on TV. So I can say nigger because FCC doesn't regulate online radio. Well, not yet, anyway. They'll be around soon. But yeah. Many of these officers grew up in households where the N-word was used routinely, regularly. Even if they didn't say it, outwardly in public, or they didn't call the black person the N-word, but they probably in the car. Oh, this nigga just cut me off. So we need a national platform. We need all organizations to get together. Because what happens is it becomes more about you and less about the issue. It becomes more about you being popular, your popularity. It's not about the issue. It's not about the issue no more. Now it's about you and what in your popularity. You're flying around and you're attending like Reverend Al Sharpton, who I respect. I have a great deal of respect for. But the issue comes about you when you got a television show. You have a national radio show. You have people calling in. See, I'll get back. I'll talk about that next week, how some people push these narratives to sell books. Keep them in the dark. Make them keep thinking that nonsense about the white man. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for joining me. I'm going to dash out of here and go do what I do. Anyway, I'll see you back here next week for another edition of Ron Kelly Show. Hopefully, we'll be in our new studio. And everything will run well. Okay, so until then, everybody, take care of yourselves. And remember, nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And we may not have it all together, but together, we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much. I'm done.